Hi, this is Kalina.
And this is Gabe.
Welcome to
Bigger Than Love. Hey, everybody.
Hey. Gabe, what's your favorite thing to do when you're not working?
If it's not gardening and it involves going out of the house, generally, it's the two of us together.
No, I didn't mean on your own. I meant in general, what's one of your favorite pastimes?
Oh, my favorite pastime is to wander.
Wander. Okay, okay. Thrift stores are like little portals, half treasure chest, half time machine. You walk in with no idea what you're going to find. Maybe a sweater that feels like a hug. Maybe a pair of jeans that make zero sense. Maybe nothing at all.
Maybe a pair of jeans that feel like a sweater.
That's true. Maybe a pair of jeans that feels like a sweater. That's kind of part of the magic though, right? Thrifting reminds us of yogic principles too, like letting go of the hunger for always having new stuff, practicing contentment with what already exists, and remembering that our choices kind of ripple out into the planet, into people, and into the unseen web of life. So in today's episode, everyone's finding out, including Gabe, we're going to explore the weird and wonderful world of thrifting, sharing our funniest finds and reflecting on what secondhand living can teach us, asking us what it means to live lightly, joyfully, and with the feeling of enoughness. So I think this is funny because one of the top questions that we both get, people are always asking us about our clothes. Like, where did you get that jacket? Or I love your outfit. Where do you shop? And the truth is, most of the time, we didn't shop at all. We thrifted it. Our whole quote unquote look, if that's what you want to call it, is basically secondhand chic with a side of trash.
Is thrifting technically shopping? Or today's episode is going to be talking about the difference between what we consider traditionally shopping and thrifting.
I guess technically thrifting is a type of shopping, but I'm hoping to inspire people to shop secondhand today.
But stay off our turf.
Yeah. Stay off our turf. Gabe, what's your favorite thrift store story?
There are many. My favorite thrift store story, which comes to mind, is you and I took a trip to BC. And we wandered into a thrift store and you found two framed popples.
Yeah, popples.
Which, for those that don't know, popples are in popular 80s, mainly stuffed animal that folds into itself. But you found two framed paintings.
They're not even paintings. I think they were just like a piece of paper out of a magazine of a popples and someone framed them.
They're definitely a couple clicks above magazine clipping.
Framed magazine clipping.
Yeah, they're like, maybe they're not necessarily original artwork. But anyway, my favorite thrift store story is that you picked them up and you went, this makes the whole trip worth it.
It was a good find. I mean, they are originals. I mean, I've never seen them since. They're in our house. That was a good thrift store find. Same thing. I don't remember where you went. Maybe West Virginia. And you called me and you're like, you're not going to believe it. I found a Hug-A-Bunch in the wild. And it was like the little tiny one that they gave out back in the 80s, like Taco Bell. And I just, the phrase Hug-A-Bunch in the wild became like a saying that we've used since then.
For those that don't know, what are Hug-A-Bunch?
Well, I could talk a long time about Hug-A-Bunch. It was a movie in the 80s that was my favorite movie. It's still one of my favorite movies about these dolls that come to life and they take this little girl to Hug-A-Land and they sing and they hug. That's like their whole mantra of life is to hug and dance. And that basically just sums up my life, just the rest of the story. If you've never seen it, you can watch the whole movie on YouTube. I have a lot of collectibles that you've gotten me over the years, some from thrift stores, others from eBay or other favorite place to buy things.
The original online marketplace for trash.
Another story that comes to mind is when we were in Hawaii and they don't call them thrift stores there. They call them transfer stations.
No, they have thrift stores in Hawaii, but the transfer station is the dump.
That you can buy things.
But I'm saying the transfer station is the name. The transfer station is the name for the municipal dump because obviously it's an island. So it's where people dump their trash. See, we're already giving away all our secrets here. So those that are listening, you can go to any of the Hawaiian islands, to any of their dumps. And at the transfer station, if you just Google transfer station, there'll be a thrift store attached to it.
Well, I found this really rad Chicago Bulls jacket.
Shooting jacket or something.
Like where you like practice your slam dunks or...
I think it's just full on like Jordan in his prime. That jacket's insane.
I don't know. I found it and I was like, ask them how much they wanted for it. And they're like $2. And I was like, we got to hurry. We got to get it. We got to get out of here, because I thought they would change their mind. And sure enough, like as we were paying, the guy that worked there was kind of looking like he's upset that he didn't find that. Like, obviously.
I remember it being in the corner in a box.
Rubbermaid?
Yeah. It was there in a giant Rubbermaid box, said $2. And I remember you pulling it out and being like, oh my God, we got to go. We got to
go.
That's a common, that's a common unfolding with you, is that if you feel like you got some sort of crazy deal, it has to be purchased immediately and put in the trunk. Otherwise, like, someone's going to rescind.
Well, those of you listening who thrift or antique know it's lawless. They can change their mind. They can make up a price. They can say it's not for sale. Like, just because it's in the store doesn't mean it's for sale. So,
you know, that's the thing about thrifting is, in my opinion, it's a modern day treasure hunting, modern day scavenger hunting. Mm-hmm. You know, you can imagine back in the swashbuckling days of the pirates, the people they probably encountered, whether it was indigenous communities guarding their gold with spears or other pirates trying to take their booty. People who run thrift stores are sometimes on the margins of society.
For sure.
And,
or retired.
Right. And even, yeah, margins on society, whether that's by choice, by demographic. And certain places, in my opinion, are hotbeds of trash, and specifically like thrift store activity. Obviously, we were talking about Hawaii is amazing because it's kind of a one-way trip. Something ends up there far away. I mean, Hawaii is the most isolated landmass in the world. So some trash ends up there. It ain't going nowhere else. And also the desert. Mm-hmm. The desert's another place where like trash goes but doesn't come back.
Also, though, the South, where I'm from, is a place where really cool trash goes and nobody wants it. Because here in LA, everybody wants to be cool. In my hometown, what's cool there is different. When we go to visit my family, we get a lot of looks. No one's asking us, oh, cool style, where'd you get that shirt? It's the opposite. Why do you have that shirt? When you're on the road, like if you're in these smaller towns, to find really rad stuff, because no one there really wants it. They think that it's just trash. That's why they took it to the Salvation Army or to the Goodwill or to the thrift, because they don't want it.
Some of the things that we like, I would say, are centered around 80s kitsch. And when I think of 80s kitsch, I think of plastic. Mm-hmm. And then when I think of 80s plastic, I think of hashtag domestic plastic. And a lot of the hashtag domestic plastic was made in the South. A lot of it was manufactured in Tennessee by a company called Aladdin. So if you look at like any old lunchboxes, any old thermoses, lunchboxi, thermi, they...
thermi?
It's more than one thermos is a thermi. A lot of them are made by Aladdin mm-hmm. Industries. I mean, nowadays, like, we have a lot of plastic that's obviously, in one way or another, brought in from overseas.
Thrift stores are magical because they're really unpredictable. Most of the time, I walk in with zero expectation, and somehow the randomness feels like kind of an adventure, kind of like a mix of nostalgia, comedy, and surprise. And whether it's like a thrift store or an antique mall, it's still at the same vibe. I always find things that remind me of, like, my grandma.
Totally.
Or a t-shirt from a concert that I never went to, but maybe I wanted to. Or for me, I really like big sweaters or oversized t-shirts. And I like that there's a sense of story with things that you find. Every item had a time before you. Someone wore it or danced in it or cried in it or maybe loved it so much they could barely let it go. And when you take it home, you're carrying forward that kind of invisible thread of memory. And I mean, I really like that. That's why I like secondhand items. Thrift shopping is kind of yogic in its own way, and it invites you and us and we to practice curiosity and patience and openness. You can't control what you're going to find. I mean, I have a want list that's pretty long, and I don't know when it's going to show up. I don't know when I'm going to find it. I think it really is an act of patience, and in some ways, it's very much like stepping onto the mat. Sometimes you walk out with a treasure. Sometimes you leave empty-handed, but the magic is most definitely in the showing up. Thrifting really allows for you to own your own style or like whatever you're into at the moment. And I think one of the best parts of thrifting is how it does shape your style. Maybe you never knew you were going to be into something until you try it. Like instead of chasing whatever's trending this season, you end up with curating pieces that feel like you, weird or one of a kind and a little soulful. And your closet becomes less about fitting in and more about expression, story, surprise. I do think that when anyone asks us where we got something, one of the things I hear you do often is share the story about where we found it.
Definitely.
And that is fun. It's like a conversation starter in a lot of ways, depending on the piece. And I've had a few pieces where people have just straight up asked me if they can buy them off of my body, which is funny. And then it becomes like a secondary story to the piece, which I think is pretty cool. Maybe this is just me, but fast fashion tends to make everybody look the same. Rows of identical jeans and racks of the same shirt in every color. But thrift stores, they remind you that your style doesn't need to be mass produced. It can be eclectic and personal and even a little odd in the best way possible. There's a kind of freedom in putting on clothes that weren't chosen for you by an algorithm or a marketing campaign, but they carry character, they carry history, and somehow they give you permission to be more yourself. And one of the common statements I hear people say is like, oh, I could never wear that. They love something that you're wearing, but they're like, oh, I could never wear that. That's just such a funny thing to say. You just said you liked it. So if you like it, you can wear it. Thrifting gives you permission on top of the fact that you are saving money. So if you end up not really liking your choice, it's a lot easier to get rid of it than if you paid a lot of money for something new.
Something that perhaps I've said earlier that I think about every day, and I don't even remember who said it originally, that the secret to being happy in this life is being easily entertained. There's an element of thrifting that I always find funny, which is to see what they've kept behind the glass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What trash they've deemed to be classic and not nasty. And like, we often have a laugh surrounding some random piece of costume jewelry.
The first thing that comes to mind behind the glass, if you will, and for those of you who are like, what's that mean? It's the part of the thrift store or the antique mall where they've locked these things up. You have to go to the front and ask for a key to have someone from the desk come
and open
it.
Be your chaperone.
Yeah, be your chaperone. And the first thing that comes to mind was when we found, or you found, I guess, the Cabbage Patch pens and charms from the 80s. The thrift store had behind glass. And we're like, can we see those? And they're like, $3 a thing.
It was the California Association of Cabbage Patch Collectors. So it was like the shape, it was the silhouette of the state of California with a Cabbage Patch face attached to it.
I mean, they're the bomb. I think we bought all of them.
I think we bought the lot.
Yeah, we bought the lot. We bought the lot. But I think it's funny that they're like, this is a high ticket item, this $3 thing. I have to put it behind glass. There's always usually like sunglasses, but one of the random things that they usually have behind the glass is a Nintendo or a Game Boy, like the old original Game Boy. There's always one Game Boy. And then there's always like a digital camera. Over time, thrifting has really built up our quote-unquote collections. Anyone who knows Gabe knows he has quite the collection of used instruments. So that's a collection in and of itself. But also, you have a lot of really cool jackets. I know it's hot right now, but...
Just like anything in life, you go through different phases. And I would have never have guessed you would say that. Maybe because it's been so hot, but I can't really think of all the jackets that I have.
We had to buy an outdoor closet to store them all.
Most of those are your jackets.
You mean our jackets.
That's another thing, too, as time has gone on, we tend to just wear the same clothes. There's a lot of interchangeable clothes. I call it one load of laundry to rule them all. And some of the students at the yoga studio, too, have remarked like, hey, is that Kalina's shirt?
Yeah, we have a whole closet of oversized T-shirts. And at our house, let's just say that the McDonald's Nugget collection has officially become its own kind of thrifted shrine. I have a lot of McDonald's toys.
This is true.
Not just nuggets. I love little figurines. And they aren't just objects to me anymore. They really are characters in our life together. I love looking at them and thinking of all the places and all the things that we've done. They're kind of my version of a souvenir when we go places versus like buying, I don't know, a shot glass or something. I think of my mom. She collected shot glasses when I was growing up. And my grandmother liked snow globes. And doesn't even have to be a specific thing. Just something nostalgic that I found. I mean, obviously, I'm a big fan of throwing it back to McDonald's because that just reminds me of some of my favorite childhood memories. And obviously, I hug a bunch and Care Bears and Rainbow Bright, really anything, as we call it, 80s baby. One of the yogic principles, non-harming, comes up for me. Every secondhand item you choose is one less new thing the planet has to produce. And fast fashion is one of the biggest polluters in the world. It guzzles waters, it dyes rivers, and it churns out waste at a speed we can't keep up with. And behind it all are the garment workers, often underpaid and unsafe, carrying the hidden cost of cheap clothing. So when we thrift, we interrupt that cycle. We say, this shirt doesn't have to cost the earth or someone else's dignity. And even animals benefit too. Think leather, wool, or down that doesn't need to be newly made. So non-harming isn't just on the mat when we're careful with our own bodies. It's also in how we gently walk across the earth. There's also the yogic principle of non-grasping. Our culture tends to run on more, newer, better. And there's always another side, another person telling us that we need something. Thrifting flips that script, which I think is super cool. And instead of grabbing for the next new thing, you can slow down, wander, and accept whatever shows up for you. And sometimes you find gold, sometimes you don't find anything at all. But either way, you practice a softening or letting go of that constant need to feed the hunger for something new or something better. And there's freedom in realizing you don't have to keep up. You can actually step off the treadmill of endlessly wanting things. And then, Gabe, I know one of your favorites is Santosha or contentment. And
for sure.
This joy of enoughness, that moment you find the perfectly soft hoodie or a weird, wonderful mug for 50 cents, it's just there to make you happy. Not because it's expensive, not because it's trendy, but because it makes your heart happy. I really dig this. And that's Santosha, the quiet happiness that comes from noticing and appreciating what already is. It's not about settling, it's about savoring. So when you put these things together, thrifting becomes more than fashion. It's actually practice. It's choosing compassion, releasing grasping, and finding contentment in the simplest corners of life. And the bonus, you get to look fabulous while you do it. It's one of our favorite things to do. And when I was thinking about this episode, I was thinking about when we travel, how our favorite things to do is to not have a plan and just sure. to go out and wherever we're at. And we end up in the coolest places because we choose to visit thrift stores and antique malls. Like, we end up in parts of cities that, like, you wouldn't go otherwise. They're not the touristy places to go.
I always like that. I mean, I'm not really a road warrior, but when I do tour or travel for work, I like to stop by at least one thrift store, especially in Europe. Charity shops, as they call them there, are usually located in residential areas. They're not located in the Times Square, so to speak, of a neighborhood. And you really get a feeling for, like, how people are living and what their life looks like. And I've always appreciated the window into the humanity of another place vis-a-vis their trash.
I think it goes back to what I was saying about there being a story. So when you're in a new place, you're kind of getting a part of the story of people that live there. And maybe I'm being woo-woo about it, but I think it does something for my nervous system for sure. Like, instead of buying into the message that you have to keep up or stay trendy or constantly reinvent yourself, I think that thrifting and secondhand shopping really allows you to exhale. For me anyway, I only speak personally. I find it really refreshing. I find it a testament that I don't need more or newer, and I can be content and creative and connected with what already is. And that very much is part of my yoga.
Sure.
When do you think you started thrifting? Do you remember your first time?
Do I remember my first time? You'll always remember your first time. The first thrifting I remember doing in earnest was with my brother. He was living in Rogers Park, and I was probably like 12, and we went and got a thrifted couch. And we actually got a few thrifted couch eye.
Oh, yeah. You and I had a few thrifted couch eye, too.
Yeah. I would be careful with the thrifted couch. That's kind of playing
for another episode.
It's playing with fire.
The couch episode is for us. It's a different episode. I've been thrifting for a long time. The first person I remember thrifting with was my Aunt Sherry. She always liked thrift. And I remember one of the first things that I remember purchasing myself from a thrift store was a Tweety Bird nightshirt.
That's funny. We got Tweety Bird
pajamas.
Pajankas pretty recently.
Yeah. I remember this shirt had Tweety Bird and it also had Taz.
Okay.
Tasmanian Devil on it. And I thought it was super cool. But yeah, when I was a kid, thrifting for gifts for like Christmas or whatever. And nobody wants a gift from the thrift store.
Well, nowadays, I mean, we have so much cool trash that, like, you know, we have cool stuff to offer.
Totally. But I mean, whenever we were younger, I don't think I was the selector that I am now.
Well, it also comes with a bit of what do we call that? Discernment, in the sense that, like, I know those that fancy some classic trash and then people who, you know, maybe this doesn't resonate, but maybe after listening to this podcast, it'll give you inspiration to go out and try it.
For sure. So if you're curious about trying it yourself, here are a few tips. So the first tip I have written down
I love that you have tips.
Yeah, totally. It's like it's a PDF. Yeah.
PDF so, girl to the rescue.
Yeah. So you want to thrift like a yogi. So what I mean by that is if you're going to go thrifting or antiquing, don't go in with rigid expectations. The magic is most definitely in the surprise. So allowing yourself to be surprised. Also, there's this element of upcycle. Sometimes it's not about what it is, but what it could be. A shirt can become a crop top, or a dress becomes fabric for a pillow, or maybe even now I've seen the reverse, pillowcases becoming dresses. If you're a creative person and you like upcycling, this is a perfect place for that. And you could also kind of look into community swaps where you can get your friends together, bring clothes you don't want or wear anymore, and trade. It's like thrifting, but with more laughter and snacks. It's a little bit more curated because some people don't like the hunt. You definitely gotta like the hunt, especially if you're going to a big thrift store or those transfer stations that Gabe was talking about in Hawaii or any of the bins. If you've ever been to those places, that's kind of like a high-tech tip. But not having expectation, I think, is a big part of it. You're always looking at a garment, and if that's what you're going to look for, you got to remember that it can be dry cleaned, it can be washed. If it can't be, if something's on it that's just it's not worth the time and effort, then that's a different thing. And thrifting isn't just about clothes. I think it would be important for us to note that secondhand ecosystem is wide and beautiful. So there are other things like furniture and home goods, vintage tables, chairs, shelves. You got to keep the good wood items out of landfills and bring wood into your home. Every scratch is history. I love, and I know Gabe, you too, I love wood. It's like old wood. I think it's so beautiful, and it's a shame that they don't really make things out of wood anymore. They make it out of particle board. So keep the beautiful woodwork out of the landfill. Go buy a nice wood piece for your home. It's going to last a lot longer too. So that extends to like libraries or used bookshelves. And speaking of books, books are another thing that you can get secondhand and thrifted. They're like free little libraries because a lot of thrift stores even have books for free, pretty much at zero cost. So there's always something to read and something of interest. It's also a great place for kitchenware like mugs or cast iron pans, quirky plates. A lot of the plates and things that they made back in the 80s, 70s, 60s like are much better quality than what they make now. So they also last a lot longer than brand new stuff, and they feel lived in and soulful. For those of you who have kids or are around kids, it's a great place to get secondhand toys. Children grow up so quickly, so secondhand toys and strollers or clothes extend the life of these objects because otherwise these objects only get used for a few months at a time, and then the kid's too big or kind of outgrown that toy. Every time we go thrifting, they always have so much cool stuff for kids at a fraction of the cost. You could also buy refurbished tools and refurbished electronics or just used gadgets, power tools, and keep them in circulation instead of e-waste dumps because a lot of these items can't be thrown in the regular trash anyway, right? You have to take them to like special dump sites. So keeping them in rotation as long as they're working really help with keeping the planet happy. Some of you listeners may already know this, but secondhand thrift stores, antique malls are a great place to get old records, instruments, framed art, often come with a lot of history, and they spark new creativity when passed on. So if you're even feeling like your space needs a nice upgrade, I know recently we bought a nice new piece of art, a penguin. You want to talk about the penguin art we just recently got?
Another fun thing about thrifting is you may find that you gravitate towards certain things that you didn't know existed. Mm-hmm. The penguin art is by an artist named Stuart Moskowitz, who...
Good old Stuart.
Good old Stuart. We miss him. If you Google Stuart Moskowitz and you see his drawings, perhaps you would recognize them. But they're sort of a quintessential 70s, 80s caricatures of mainly animals. And we found this poster of a pyramid of penguins, and we had it framed.
We spent more on getting it framed than we probably would have
seen. We spent $12 on the poster and $160 on framing it.
I mean, I love it. And I brought that story up to point out that our living room looks updated and refreshed because we took one piece of art down and put up the penguins. And so now it's like a whole new, it's basically a new house.
We're basically
right?
Like living in the Met. Yeah.
Obviously, with our penguin art. I think that there's something really profoundly embodied about all of this. Objects aren't just objects. They carry memories. And I think it's really, really cool. When I was thinking of this episode, I thought, oh, it would be cool to throw in some cool facts about thrift stores. The nerd in me likes facts. So I found out that the Goodwill first opened in 1902. Goodwill was started in Boston by a Methodist minister who wanted to provide jobs and affordable goods. So people donated unwanted items and workers were trained to repair and resell them. Another thing that I've already felt since post-COVID, but I also found evidence of this online, is that fashion, or thrifting rather, is exploding in popularity. And the resale market is growing 5 times faster than the traditional retail market. So it's projected that by 2030, it's projected to be worth over $80 billion.
Wow.
So thrifting is becoming, yeah, I know, right? I guess we were trendsetters without knowing it.
Expensive trade.
I kind of spoke to this earlier when I said that fashion waste is really massive, but each year Americans throw away 11 million tons of textile waste. Buying just one used item instead of new reduces its carbon footprint by about 82%.
Ouch.
Yeah, so I thought that that fact alone is worth going out. The next time you have somewhere fun to go or a party to go to, try going out and picking out a cool outfit like at a thrift store instead of, you know what? I would even take a vintage store. Like, wow. Just secondhand.
That also needs to be spoken about. Yeah, that needs to be clarified because there is an interesting unfolding when we go into what you might call a traditional vintage store and sort of seeing where perhaps they source their trash. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the markup can be astronomical.
Yeah. And Gabe, I put this one in here for you because you were speaking to this a few days ago, but your clothes, and you also were sharing about your 7-minute shower.
Oh, yeah.
On the previous episode. But did you know that your clothes have a water footprint just like you do? It takes about 700 gallons of water to make one cotton t-shirt.
Wow.
And over 1,800 gallons for a single pair of jeans.
Wow.
So choosing thrift saves those hidden resources. A lot of water is saved by just buying secondhand.
I wonder what carbon footprint reduction could happen if we were to feed the jeans to a cow.
I don't know if you can do that. Also, I think it's important to know that thrift stores are extremely local. Most thrift stores keep donations in the same community where they were given. So that means you thrift locally. You are directly supporting your neighbors. And like I said earlier, every item is unique. Unlike fast fashion, thrift stores are one-of-a-kind treasure hunts. No two racks are the same, which makes every shopping trip feel like a new adventure. Even if you're like us and you go to the same thrift stores every other week, you're always going to find something new. These donations, let's say you don't want to buy, think about donating stuff that you don't need anymore or don't want anymore because this fuels nonprofits. So shops like Goodwill, Salvation Army, and many local stores funnel proceeds into job training, addiction recovery, or housing support. So shopping secondhand or giving secondhand literally funds community care, which is so important. And vintage and secondhand is very durable. Older clothes were often made with higher quality fabrics and construction compared to today's fashion. That's why some thrift finds last decades. I mean, think about it when you go buy something. You can see this if you don't even go buy anything. Like, just go look at the racks. You're going to find that the clothing brands that were really popular in like 80s and 90s, like Liz Claiborne, you can find a piece, for example, that looks basically brand new. But if you put it up against last year's Forever 21.
Something off of Temu.
Yeah, it just is not even comparable in my opinion. And I also think it's cool because I like, and I know you like, Gabe, I like the weird factor. I like going in and seeing what weird stuff is going to be happening at a thrift store, from like a wedding dress to a bowling trophy to an unopened McDonald's nugget collectible. And the stranger the find, the better the story. Like, the stranger it is, the more likely it's coming home to the Knoll House for sure. But that's part of the fun of it.
I like wearing t-shirts that have like random writing on it. I went through a phase where I would buy like t-shirts that some kid in the 80s like scrawled Tina's house or something, and I would just wear a shirt that said that. You had a skirt, I think you still have a skirt, that was like totally drawn on by all the students of a third grade teacher and given to her to her for Christmas or something. It's really cool.
It is cool. So we have a listener challenge for those of you who would like to participate. This week we want to challenge you to thrift your next outfit. Instead of buying new leggings or a top, head to your local thrift store, swap with a friend, or dig out something pre-loved hiding in the back of your closet. Find something that makes you feel comfy, weird, or just totally you, and then snap a photo, maybe wear it to class, or even just roll out doing whatever you got planned to do in it, and tag us on Instagram. We'd love to see your secondhand style. Maybe we'll even share our favorites on the podcast or like our own Instagram. Just to remind all of us that yoga isn't about the fanciest outfit. It's also about showing up, breathing, and being yourself, even if that's rocking a sequined leotard from 1987. So thrifting might look like just clothes on a rack, but it's also a reminder of how we choose to live. Every secondhand piece has a story before us. And when we carry it forward, we're practicing that non-grasping, kindness to the planet, and creativity in how we show up in the world. It's also a reminder to us that yoga isn't just about postures on a mat. It's about the small daily choices that shape how lightly and lovingly we move through our life. Even something as simple as buying secondhand can be an act of alignment, a way of saying what already exists is enough. So as you step into your week, maybe notice the stories hanging in your own closet, the hand-me-downs, the thrifted treasures, the pieces that remind you to laugh. And remember, sometimes the strangest finds end up being the most beloved, just like in life.
Three P's.